Well, good weekday evening. Today is Thursday, April 18th, and the time is 7 o'clock p.m. And you are tuned into the weekly edition of the Parents of Prodigals podcast. I'm your host, Brother Alan Weir, for this brief period of time in comparison to eternity. When we come together for prayer, supplication, intercession, and petition, on behalf of our unsaved, backslidden, and wayward sons and daughters. We pray for them every week that they come to a knowledge, a saving knowledge, of our Lord Jesus Christ. We welcome all of you as we come together for mutual edification, comfort, and strengthening in these perilous times, these very, very, very last moments in history. I do not believe we are in the last days. I believe that we are in the last seconds, the last moments of history. Biblical prophecy is being fulfilled right before our very eyes. All you've got to do is turn on your TV, which can be a scary thing. And you will hear of international events going on in the Middle East, the situation between Iran and Israel, as nuclear saber rattling has been said to be occurring. War, the moral fabric and deterioration of not just our nation, but of the world in general, is worsening continuously. Our salvation is closer, ever closer, than when we first believed. But in these last days, in these last moments, many of us have unsaved, backslidden, or wayward sons and daughters. While we are saved, many of us have sons and daughters who have never surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ. They've never repented of their sins and made Jesus Lord of their lives so that their names will be written in the book of life and they will not enter into a Christless eternity. The next event on the prophetic biblical calendar is the rapture of the church. The blessed hope, when Jesus Christ, our Lord, returns to earth and removes all born-again believers from the face of the earth. The Word of God says in Thessalonians that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. This is an actual event that is really going to take place. Many of us have seen the Left Behind series by Tim LaHaye, the movies, or read the books. Countless multitudes of believers disappearing, driverless cars, pilotless planes, empty seats at dinner tables. Believers will be snatched away by our Lord Jesus Christ. And then after this takes place, there will be a period of time known as the Great Tribulation. A seven-year period of time when God will pour out his judgment on a sinful and unrepentant and rebellious world. It's going to be a horrible time, and while we as believers are going to partake in it, we have unsaved sons and daughters. We don't want them to get left behind. We want them saved. My son accepted Jesus Christ about a year ago, and I'm discipling him. His name is in the book of life. He's going to get raptured, but I still pray for my unsaved daughter. If the rapture takes place tonight, she'll get left behind. And many of you have prodigals as well. You don't want them to get left behind. And so we take this time every Thursday, even during the week, to pray and intercede that our prodigal sons and daughters come to their spiritual senses and that the Spirit of God convict them of their spiritual condition, help them to open up their minds and give thought to the things of eternity so that they accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, so that they will be raptured. But aside from the rapture, the word of God also says in the book of Hebrews that it is appointed once unto men to die, but after this, to judgment. Death can come at any time. There was a recent story about a 26-year-old football player, a young man, in the best of health. He died suddenly. You don't have to be sickly or elderly to enter into eternity. The word of God says that in the last days, men's hearts will fail them for fear. Death can come at any time, and then the judgment. Neither you or I want our prodigals to face an eternal demise, where they'll have to give an account of their lives to our Lord. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And when a person dies without Christ, their eternity is sealed until the moment when they stand before the Lord in judgment, giving account of their lives. We don't want our unsaved sons and daughters to get left behind in the rapture, and we don't want our unsaved sons and daughters to enter eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that's what this podcast is all about. Prayer, petition, supplication, intercession, prayer warfare for our unsaved sons and daughters, many of whom perhaps are in bondage to drugs or alcohol or alternative lifestyles, or maybe they haven't turned to the Lord out of peer pressure. They don't want to be ridiculed by friends or associates or co-workers. Maybe perhaps they feel that they're good enough. They don't need Jesus Christ. They feel that their good works will get them into heaven. Maybe perhaps they don't even believe that God would send anyone to hell. God is too good, too merciful, too loving to send anyone to hell. Newsflash, God doesn't send anyone to hell. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The word of God also says that God takes no delight in the death of the wicked. A person sends themselves to eternal damnation by rejecting God's love offer of eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We pray that our unsaved and wayward and backslidden sons and daughters have everlasting life by surrendering their lives to Jesus Christ. And so we take this time to intercede and pray for them, that strongholds be pulled down, hardened hearts get softened, closed minds get opened, unstopped ears so they can hear the truth. And we rebuke the forces of darkness that would have our loved ones stay unsaved. The word of God says the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The enemy does not want your son and daughter to go to heaven. He doesn't want them to have eternal life. He does not want them to have their names written in the book of life. The devil, Satan, our enemy, wants to see your prodigal son and daughter dead. Physically dead, spiritually dead. And he'll do everything he can to keep them from listening to the gospel, responding to the gospel, and surrendering their life to Jesus Christ with lies that they don't need the Lord. Maybe false religions, false beliefs, crystals, the occult, Wicca, Eastern beliefs, self-righteousness, anything at all. The enemy will use any deception, any lie, any tactic, any hindrance to keep your prodigal son and daughter from accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so every Thursday evening, we gather together here, listeners from all over the United States, and from all over the world for that matter, tuning in as we touch and agree for our unsaved sons and daughters, the burden that we have for their salvation, the agonizing we see them living lives without Jesus Christ. No, we want to pray for them. We want to pray that they are convicted of their sin and that they accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior of their souls and complete Lord of their lives. This is a live podcast, and we welcome your participation in it. If you're listening on the Podbean app and you want to share an insight, share a scripture, share a testimony, what the Lord is doing in your life or in the life of your unsaved son or daughter. Maybe you have a prayer request. There is still time to get it in. And we will bring it before the throne of grace when the appointed time comes for us to go before the Lord and pray for our unsaved sons and daughters. We have numerous requests that we will be bringing before the Lord. All you need to do is click on the Podbean phone icon on the app. And we will patch you in live. If you want to share something, something you have to share may strengthen and edify someone who's listening. Myself included, I need edification and strengthening many times too. I get discouraged sometimes as well. God has his own process and his own time. Many times those of us as parents of prodigals ask the Lord, Lord, when are you going to save my son and daughter? How long is it going to take? How are you going to do it? When is it going to happen? I've asked those questions many times. But we need to commit our prodigal sons and daughters to the Lord's care, handing them over to him. He has the perfect process, the perfect method, and the perfect time to bring these things to pass. All we need to do is to keep praying for our prodigals, keep fasting for them, and continue to be salt and light, living epistles that can be seen and read by them, showing the love of Christ to them, and at the same time, taking every opportunity we can to share the gospel with them. We want to welcome listeners in a variety of localities and areas. We have listeners right here in the United States. We have listeners that we welcome in New York, California, Colorado, Pennsylvania, North and South Carolina, Oklahoma, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Idaho, Georgia, Alabama, Maryland, Tennessee, Texas, Ohio and Utah, Wisconsin, Virginia and West Virginia, New Jersey and Montana, Illinois, Minnesota and Louisiana, the great state of New Hampshire, Oregon, Washington State, Rhode Island and Indiana, Arizona, Michigan, Iowa, New Mexico, Kentucky, Arkansas, Mississippi, Wyoming, and Nebraska. Internationally, we have listeners in Mexico, Canada, Australia, France, Uganda, Brazil, the United Kingdom, Bosnia-Herzegovina, the Philippines, India, New Zealand, Germany, Zimbabwe, Tanzania, Japan, Ireland, Russia. We welcome all of you. If you're listening live, we welcome you. Now, because of time differences in many areas, in some countries, it's nighttime, or it could be morning. Maybe some people are working right now, or due to other responsibilities, they're not able to listen live, and people will be downloading this podcast to listen to it later on. As I've said a multitude of times, God is not restrained or constrained by time or space. You can be blessed, and the Spirit of God can move mightily in a downloaded podcast just as powerfully as he can if you're listening live. So we welcome you again to the Parents of Prodigals podcast. Touch and agree with me right now in an opening word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We all thank you, Lord God, for this brief period of time when we can come together for mutual edification and strengthening, and most of all, prayer for those of us who have unsaved, backslidden, or wayward sons and daughters who have never surrendered their lives to you. We ask you first and foremost, Lord, to forgive us. We humbly come before you for forgiveness and cleansing of any sin that we have committed, anything we have done or said, any thought we may have had. No matter what it is, Lord God, cleanse us from all sin so that we are clean in your sight, so that our prayers are not hindered, but most of all, so that our relationship with you is unfettered. We want to be clean in your sight. We want nothing to come between our relationship with you, Lord God. And so we confess all sin. We ask for the blood of Jesus to wash us clean. And we thank you and we praise you for your mercy and your forgiveness, Lord God. In Jesus' name, we pray. And we also pray that you pour out a blessing on all listeners of this podcast, my God. Let me speak as an oracle. Let what is said here bless the hearers. Let your word fall on good ground, bearing fruit in the lives of those who are tuning in, live or through a download, no matter what it is, Lord God. Bless, strengthen, comfort, and encourage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The title of tonight's devotional is The Hesitation of Prodigal Repentance. The Hesitation of Prodigal Repentance. And our scripture text is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 19, verses 12 through 17. Genesis, chapter 19, verses 12 through 17. And I'll give you a moment to find that scripture text in your Bibles. On the night of April 14th, 1912, the ocean liner Titanic struck an iceberg while sailing across the Atlantic Ocean. Titanic was sailing from Southampton, England to New York City. 2 hours and 40 minutes later, of the 2,224 passengers that were on board, more than 1,500, just over half, drowned or froze to death in the icy waters of the Atlantic. But why had so many died? Titanic did not carry a sufficient number of lifeboats under the false, arrogant, and boastful belief that the ship was unsinkable, so extra precautions they felt were unnecessary. In addition, many passengers who were aware of this took false comfort in that and were hesitant to get into lifeboats. Such was the arrogance of many passengers who not only did not want to be inconvenienced out of being comfortable aboard the ship, but who also trusted in worldly strength, worldly wisdom, and worldly pride. And what was true of the Titanic passengers is also true of the unsaved today, specifically of our prodigal sons and daughters, who for a variety of reasons, despite the signs of the times, and biblical prophecy being fulfilled before our very eyes, which are heralding the end of all things, are still hesitating for one foolish reason or another to put off allowing our Lord Jesus Christ to rescue them from the lake of fire by surrendering their lives completely and fully to him. Our scripture text this evening bears witness to the danger of lingering hesitation of our backslidden, unsaved and wayward prodigal sons and daughters in the face of impending judgment that is sure to come, and four possible reasons for their hesitation. Let's read our scripture text together, Genesis chapter 19, verses 12 through 17, and I'll be reading from two versions, first from the New Living Translation and then from the New King James Version of God's Holy Word. Genesis chapter 19, verses 12 through 17. Meanwhile, the angels questioned Lot. "Do you have any other relatives here in the city?" they asked. "Get them out of this place, your sons-in-law, sons, daughters, or anyone else, for we are about to destroy this city completely. The outcry against this place is so great, it has reached the Lord, and he has sent us to destroy it." So Lot rushed out to tell his daughter's fiancés, Quick, get out of the city. The Lord is about to destroy it. But the young men thought he was only joking. At dawn the next morning, the angels became insistent. Hurry, they said to Lot. Take your wife and your two daughters who are here. Get out right now, or you will be swept away in the destruction of the city. When Lot still hesitated, the angels seized his hand and the hands of his wife and two daughters and rushed them to safety outside the city, for the Lord was merciful. And when they were safely out of the city, one of the angels ordered, "Run for your lives and don't look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains or you will be swept away." And now from the New King James Version. And then the men said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place. For we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-laws, who had married his daughters, and said, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. And so it came to pass, when they had brought them outside, that he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." Here we see Lot and his family caught in the midst of God's impending judgment, with the two messengers of God, even after telling him what was going to happen, having to actually urge him to leave, to the point of having to drag him and his family physically out of the city. The fiancés of the daughters not taking the situation seriously, but actually believing that the whole thing was a joke. Why in the world would anyone, one, believe that God's judgment is a joke, and two, linger or hesitate in the face of impending judgment and an eternity of damnation? The responses and hesitation of Lot and his family could be similar to the responses and hesitation of our prodigal sons and daughters in four possible ways. Let's explore those ways. One, there's the hesitation of status. The hesitation of status. During his residency in Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot had apparently become a prominent citizen of some influence, with Genesis chapter 19, verse 1 describing him as sitting at the city gate. The public gate was a place of assembly, business, and legal transactions. Lot's presence at the gate is neither casual nor incidental. At the gate, formal activities took place. Public decisions were made and cases were heard, as well as visitors that were being processed. Lot apparently had some status there. And like Lot, many of our prodigals may feel that turning to Christ would jeopardize or compromise some position or status of popularity or position, which they are not willing to give up if necessary, or even place in jeopardy. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus confronts a rich young man regarding his willingness to give up all he had to follow him, a test which the young man failed. And our prodigals may hesitate to surrender their lives to Christ out of their desire to preserve their status or popularity. We need to remind our prodigals and pray that they consider the words of our Lord in Mark chapter 8, verse 36. "What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but loses his own soul?" The second one is the hesitation of peer pressure. The hesitation due to peer pressure, because Lot had apparently become a prominent member in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, he was obviously well known. Being ridiculed or ostracized may have been another reason that Lot hesitated and lingered, rather than just heeding the warning and being obedient and leaving quickly. As I have said many times during this podcast, many of our prodigal sons and daughters may be influenced by unsafe friends, unsafe co-workers, maybe even a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a spouse, not to surrender their lives to Christ, even at the possible cost of disassociation. May we continue to pray that our prodigals have their eyes opened to the greater priority of the state of their eternal souls. A third factor is the hesitation of worldly longing. The hesitation due to worldly longing. In Genesis chapter 13, it mentions that Lot decided to take a share of land that was well watered for his flocks, even though this share of land meant living next to Sodom and Gomorrah, the city that was known for its sin. In Genesis chapter 19, even after being pulled away, after lingering and hesitating rather than try to get as far away as possible from the destruction and the sin, Lot still begged the messengers of God to let him go to one of the smaller cities that were still close to Sodom and Gomorrah. His wife apparently looking back with longing, perhaps, and suffering the consequences of her fleshly heart. I have no doubt in my mind that Lot, as well as his family members, despite his feelings against the city's wickedness, still perhaps had an affinity for some of the worldly benefits of living in Sodom and Gomorrah. Our prodigal sons and daughters need to be prayed away from the gravitational pull and the intense hold that may be keeping them from surrendering their lives to Jesus Christ. A fourth hesitation reason would be the hesitation due to disbelief. The hesitation due to disbelief. In our text, we see that when the messengers of God were warning the family about the impending judgment that was definitely coming imminently, Lot's sons-in-laws did not believe. And in fact, went so far as to think that it was a joke. In fact, it appears by the biblical account that the sons-in-laws did not leave the city and suffered the eternal consequences of their disbelief, that even though God is merciful and does not wish to see anyone perish, his judgment against sin is sure and definite. Millions upon millions today, and not just our prodigal sons and daughters, overemphasize God's love and mercy, and forgetting that he is also a holy God of justice, not believing that he will judge the world for its evil and rebellion. Many of our prodigals echo the words of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, when they say, "Where is this coming?" he promised. "For ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." And Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 clearly says, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must all give an account." We need to pray fervently that God reveals himself and his truth in the most mighty way possible to our wayward sons and daughters. The price of apathy and rejection is too costly, and the stakes of their eternal souls is too high. Now, there is one type of hesitation which we cannot leave out, but it is often a factor with our prodigal sons and daughters. And that is number 5, the hesitation due to pride. The hesitation due to pride. In our present self-centered, egotistical, narcissistic, and arrogant culture, the very idea and thought of bending the knee, bowing the head, and humbling the heart in repentance and brokenness can be repugnant to our prodigal sons and daughters. But make no mistake, the word of God is clear. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 says, "Pride comes before destruction, and an arrogant spirit before a fall." And James chapter 4, verse 6 says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." It can be an unsettling and scary thing to tell God to do whatever it takes to break the pride of our arrogant and self-centered prodigals. We may have to allow God to bring them to a Damascus Road experience like Paul went through. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ and fellow parents of prodigals, when we turn on the news and become aware of the sinful deterioration of our world and international events, we can clearly see, like I said earlier, that our salvation is drawing near. Now more than ever, we need to pray with all perseverance and fervency that the Holy Spirit spiritually drag our prodigals away from judgment by his convicting and transforming power, and that all hesitancy and lingering to repenting be removed from their lives. I truly pray that this devotional spoke to your hearts as it spoke to mine. We need to pray that all hindrances for our prodigals to come to Christ be removed. Every single hindrance needs to be removed. Strongholds must be pulled down. Barriers must be broken through. You know, the Word of God mentions many times that the two fishermen, when they were called by our Lord, the Bible says that they left their nets immediately and followed Christ. Matthew, when he was called, was at his tax collector's booth. And the Word of God says he immediately followed Christ. Would it be that easy that our prodigals would just accept Christ? Many times that is not the case. They need to be hit in the head, given a Damascus Road experience. Stubborn self-pride and self-will has to be broken down. We need to trust the Lord to do what it takes in his own way, in his own process, and in his own time, so that your prodigals and mine come to a complete saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of their sins, admitting their need for a Savior, and accepting Christ, not just as the Savior of their souls, but as the complete Lord of their lives, fully surrendering to him. And when that happens, their names will be written in the book of life. They will be raptured, and they will enter eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal life will be theirs. Their names, again, written in the book of life. I pray, we all pray, that all obstacles be removed from the hearts and minds of our prodigal sons and daughters, so that the word fall on good ground. Well, we've come to the halfway mark of the Parents of Prodigals podcast, and at this time we break into a musical interlude that I pray would bless and encourage you. So be blessed, and then when we return with the second half of the Parents of Prodigals podcast, we will enter into the time of prayer, petition, and supplication for all of our prodigals. We have numerous requests, and there is still time to get your request in for your unsaved, backslidden, or wayward son and daughter. Just type it in the Podbeam app, and we will see it on our screen. If you want it to remain anonymous, we will respect your privacy and confidentiality. It can be an unspoken request. God knows the details. But we will bring it before the throne of grace. Time is short. The prophetic clock is ticking. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. We will enter that time of petition and prayer when we return with the second half of the Parents of Prodigals podcast. Stay tuned. Be blessed and stay tuned. Thank you.
like you.
Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Above his name there is no other name, the one who is is eternally the same. There is no other name. The first and last, beginning and the end. He was the King who made the common man his friend. There is no other name. Let every tongue proclaim and sing the name of Jesus. Magnify and praise the name of Jesus. No other name but Jesus. There's power in the precious name of Jesus. Jesus, Messiah, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He created all that is with his own hands. And yet, the smallest need he understands. There is no other name. The one who said, I am the great I am. Then he gave himself the sacrifice for man. There is no other name. Let every tongue proclaim and sing the name of Jesus. Magnify and praise the name of Jesus. No
Wow. If we had more time, I'd play that again. That first song, Who Is Like You? Muhammad, Buddha, Confucius, and many other religious and philosophical leaders all have one thing in common. They are all still in their graves. Only Jesus Christ is risen, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because like the second song says, no other name, there is no other name in heaven above or earth below by which we can be saved. Jesus is the way, not a way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no one comes unto the Father but by him. Again, we pray that our prodigal sons and daughters come to this realization. Let's go before the throne of grace right now with the requests that we have. And again, as we are praying, there is still time to get in your prayer request. If you have something you want us to bring before the throne of grace, we will touch and agree with you. But right now, let's get to it. Our first request came a while back. It's from a mom who lives in Australia who has two daughters. One of them is 21 and the other one is 19. Lily and Ruby are their names. And mom writes, both were brought up in the faith. They were worship leaders at the church. Lily did 3 months of Bible evangelism, and both of them did Bible studies to the youth. And then it goes on to say in this prayer request that tragically, more than a year ago, they both chose to leave their faith and went out nightclubbing and went out into the world and to its lures. Mom goes on to say, it's been for me months of crying and praying and finding a new faith and trust in Abba Father. And she asked her that we all touch and agree and pray for their speedy return to their first love. Well, you know what, Mom? We're going to lift you up in prayer, and then we're going to pray for your two daughters. This is no time to backslide. So we're going to touch and agree for you and then for Lily and Ruby. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for a praying mom who is salt and light to her two daughters, burdened for their return to the faith, Lord God. And so we pray for this mom's strength, renewed strength and refreshment, a touching of the Holy Spirit in her life, in her heart, and in her mind, and in her soul. Strengthen her, Lord God, as she continues to persevere in prayer. Strengthen her faith, Lord God. Continue to lift up her hands. Hold up her arms, like in the Old Testament, Lord God. Hold her arms up so she remains steadfast in prayer and perseverance in petition and intercession for her two daughters. When the enemy tries to discourage this mom, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, encourage her heart. Give her a revival in her soul, renewed strength, Lord God, as she continued to trust you for the return of her two prodigal daughters. And we lift these two young ladies up right now, Lily and Ruby. You see exactly where they are right now, what they're doing, who they're hanging out with, what they're involved in, what they're saying, what they're thinking. Heavenly Father, we lift them up before you. We rebuke the lies, the whispers, the deceptions of the enemy, telling them, oh, they can always go back. Go out and have a good time for now. We rebuke the forces of darkness in their lives, satanic and demonic influences. We rebuke the spirit of deception, the backsliding spirit. We rebuke it. And we just plead the blood of Jesus over these two young ladies. Holy Spirit, convict them of their sin and their waywardness. Do what needs to be done, Lord God. Zap them, kazak them right now, Lord God, wherever they are. Like our devotional says, Lord God, drag them out of the city. Impending judgment is coming. These are the last seconds in history. Again, this is no time to backslide. Lord, I'm going to keep saying the same prayer for everyone tonight. Drag them. Drag them away, Lord God, to safety through the power of your Spirit, the convicting and transforming power of your Spirit, Lord God. Help them to believe it. This is not a joke. Time is short. Their souls are at stake. Convict them of their sin. Restore them back to the faith. Open up their eyes. They've been lied to and deceived. Give them a mistaste and a distaste for the things that whatever they're indulging in. Pull away those negative associations, Drag away those negative influences. Silence the voices of friends and family members, perhaps, or neighbors or co-workers, whoever they are, that are lying to them and telling them they don't need Christ. Lord, help them to stay away. Help them not to stand in the path of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful or listen to the counsel of the ungodly, like Psalm 1 says, Lord God. Restore them to the faith, Heavenly Father. We commit them into your hands, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And we thank you and we praise you. We know it's coming to pass even now. It's happening. It's happening. From New York to Australia, the Spirit of God moves in the lives of Lily and Ruby. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We want to lift up in prayer a young lady by the name of Margaret. And the parent sends this request in that Margaret was saved several years ago, but has struggled with an alternative lifestyle most of her teenage life. And now Margaret is 20 years of age and has moved away and has caught up in an ungodly relationship. And the parent who sent this in says, please pray that she loves the Lord with all her heart and that she turns from this sin so that she will still love the abundant life that Christ has for her. Pray that God takes this stronghold away and replaces it with his truth. Margaret has apparently believed the lies of Satan. And so we ask the Lord to remove this unnatural desire from her and replace it with his light and enlightened truth, that he will reveal the truth to her. This mom goes on to say that she herself, they have started a Prayers for Prodigals prayer meeting at their church once a month for hurting parents. We touch and agree with you right now. Let's lift up Margaret in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just lay this young lady before you, Margaret, Lord God, who has fallen into deception, into a lie, into a fabrication. We pray right now for her, Lord God. We lay her before you, Lord. You see what she's doing right now. Deceived into an alternative lifestyle. Yes, Lord, we call it for what it is. Deception. Sin. Evil. We lift Margaret up in prayer right now. She has fallen into the snare of the enemy's trap. She is in the enemy's camp right now. And Lord, we lift up Margaret right now and we pray that your spirit convict her and open up her eyes to the deception that she's in right now. Lord, reveal yourself to her in a mighty, powerful way. In your own way, Lord God, do again what needs to be done to bring the prodigal back to their senses. Back on the road, even if it's necessary that she is feeding swine. It's scary, Lord, but we commit Margaret into your hands. She's in good hands with you, the best hands possible. You love her more than any parent can. You are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You are not willing that Margaret perish. You want her to come to repentance. And so, Lord, we commit Margaret into your hands, that you open up her mind, open up her heart. We rebuke the spirit of deception. We rebuke the lies of the enemy that have lured her back into the world, lured her into a deceptive and sinful lifestyle. Lord, we commit her into your hands. Speak to her heart and speak to her mind. Speak to her through the watches of the night, through a dream, through a vision, through circumstances, through a friend, through a neighbor. Christian associations, convict her, Lord, and let it weigh heavy upon her as she has fallen away. Open up her eyes to the things of eternity. We lay Margaret before you, and we thank you and we praise you. And you are going to bring these things to pass, Lord God. We trust you with her restoration. We trust you. You're going to bring her back, Lord God. Bring her back to the fold. We trust you completely. Even when it's difficult, Lord God, we trust you with the process and with the timing and with the method. Your ways are perfect, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Every week we pray for two young men, both of them by the name of Joshua. And we have said before that these two young men were struggling with the stronghold of addictions. Now, it's my understanding that there have been some developments with both these young men in terms of the softening of the heart and the possible return to the faith. It's still a struggle. It's a tug of war. It's a battleground. But we're going to touch and agree for both these young men, both of them by the name of Joshua. Touch and agree with me right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these two young men with the names of a mighty man of God, a warrior. And so, Lord God, we just lift them up in prayer. You see the battle that's going on for their souls, for their minds, for their eternity. The enemy wants to see both these young men in continued bondage to addiction. We lift them both up in prayer, Lord. We pray for their deliverance, complete and total deliverance from any bondage to any vice or any sin, Lord God, or any chain that's having them bound and keeping them from fully surrendering to you. We pray that you'd both turn these young men into true Joshuas. Their names are Joshua. Turn them into Joshua. Mighty men of God, committed to you, sanctified, filled with your spirit. Lord, strengthen their commitment to you, Lord God. If their hearts and minds are divided in any way, shape, or form, if there's a battle going on in their minds between the world and service to you, Lord, conquer the ground. Turn the heart and the mind completely over to you, Lord God. We rebuke the spirit of deception in their lives. Silence the satanic voices of compromise and lies. Bring both these young men fully into the fold and make them the men of God that you would have them become and be. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord God. We know you're working. We know you are working. In your own pace, Lord, in your own time and in your own way, you are working. In Jesus' name, we commit them both into your hands. Amen and amen. Every week we pray for three young ladies by the name of Gabby, Angela, and Valentina. And of these three young ladies, it's my understanding that Angela has committed her life to Christ. Still struggling with a particular stronghold, but she has surrendered her life to Christ, and the report that we get from her parents is that she is reading her word and in prayer and is just committing her life to the Lord. These other two young ladies, Valentina, who has committed her life to the Lord. Gabby and Angela are still struggling with issues perhaps like depression or low self-esteem, maybe perhaps hostility to the gospel. We need to pray for these three young ladies. Again, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus comes that we may have life and have it abundantly. Touch and agree right now for these three young ladies. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these three young souls, Lord God, that the enemy wants to see perishing. Lord, we thank you for Valentina, and she has committed her life to you, and we pray for her continued strength. Fill her with the knowledge of your will. Strengthen her with all grace and truth, Lord God. Make her a prayer warrior, a woman of the word. Turn Valentina into a Ruth, an Esther, a Priscilla, a woman of God who's consecrated to you. Strengthen her resolve and commitment. Strengthen her, Lord God, so she resists any temptation to return to wayward ways and back out into the world, Lord God. Let your word fall on good ground. Let her bear fruit, spiritual fruit in her life, Lord God. We pray for these two other young ladies, Gabby and Angela. Lord, you see what they're involved with. They may be hostile to the gospel. They may be indifferent to the gospel, going about their own lives, doing their own thing, whatever it may be, Lord God. Give them both, as we have said before with others, give both, Gabby and Angela, if necessary, a Damascus Road experience. Open up their eyes to the truth of the gospel, Heavenly Father. We bind the strong man that's attached themselves to the lives of both these young ladies that is keeping them from receiving you and surrendering their lives to you. Lord, reveal your love to them. If they're involved in ungodly activities or ungodly philosophies, we bind these spirits of deception. If it's depression or low self-esteem, heal the mind, heal the soul, and heal the heart. Quicken it in the name of Jesus. But convict them both of their lives so that they see their need of a Savior and they surrender their lives to you. Help family members to be salt and light to both these young ladies. We commit them to your care, deliverance, and salvation for Gabby and Angela. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Every week we pray for a dear sister in Christ named China. China is the daughter, the lovely daughter of my dear brother Jamie and his godly wife, my dear sister India. China was in bondage at one time to a stronghold. It could be safely said when this ministry began about 2 years ago, the first testimony we received of salvation of a prodigal was from my brother Jamie, who told me that China had surrendered her life to Jesus Christ, and now she's a woman of God. But there will always be a counterattack. Ground that is gained through prayer must be held by prayer. And the enemy is always looking to lure especially new believers back out into the world through a variety of deceptions. But we're going to touch and agree right now for China and her walk. It's prayer warfare. Let's get on to battle. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for praying parents who didn't give up the fight but continued in prayer steadfastly and perseveringly for their daughter China. And right now we lift her up in prayer, Lord God. We thank you for her salvation. We thank you. Her name's in the book of life. She's going to be attending the marriage supper of the Lamb. She may be sitting next to me. She'll be raptured, harpazoed. She will not get left behind. But Lord, we pray against the wiles and deception and the counterattack of the enemy that will do everything he can to lure her back into the world, to discourage her, to disillusion her, to weaken her, to get her to compromise, to discourage her. We pray for her continued strength, Lord God. Make her a powerful, powerful, powerful woman of God. Turn her into an Esther. Turn her into a Priscilla. Turn China into a Ruth. Turn her into a Sarah. Turn her into a Mary. Turn her into Elizabeth. But transform her mind, transform her heart, make her a prayer warrior, give her a hunger and a thirst for your word, Lord God. It's in the book of Joshua, Heavenly Father. This book of the law shall not depart out of China's mouth, but help her to meditate therein day and night so that she will be successful in her walk with you, Lord God, and that she'll prosper. Bless her walk with you, Heavenly Father. Give her an intimate relationship with you. Lord, strengthen her commitment to you. Let her mean business, continued business, as she is going to serve you and only you and not go back. We commit her into your hands, Lord God. We praise you and worship you for China's salvation, her deliverance and salvation. We commit him into your hands, strengthening in knowledge, in grace, in truth, in perseverance, in fortitude, Lord God. Let the fire of the Holy Spirit bring revival to her soul. Holy Ghost fire burning within her for sanctification in her life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Every week we pray for a man by the name of Edgar. Edgar is the adult son of a dear brother and sister in Christ named Frank and Rose, who are members of Soul Purpose Evangelical Church. Edgar knows the gospel. He knows that except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. But for some reason, like we mentioned during our devotional, hesitancy, lingering. This is not the time to linger. Judgment is coming. Let's touch and agree right now for Edgar. Heavenly Father, you see this young man, Edgar, Lord God. You see the things he's involved with, the things he's doing, his frame of mind, whatever's keeping him from surrendering his life to you and turning to you. Tear down, pull down this stronghold. It could be a stronghold of self-righteousness, Lord God. Tear it down. It could be a stronghold of bitterness, maybe a bad experience in the church. Bring it down. It could be a stronghold of a love of pleasure, a love of the world. Bring it down. It could be a stronghold of apathy. He doesn't care about the things of eternity. He thinks there's plenty of time. Bring it down. In the name of Jesus, bring down every stronghold, every hindrance that's keeping Edgar from surrendering his life to you. Bring people into Edgar's life. There are two voices whispering to Edgar, lies and deceptions. Maybe of peers or friends or other people or the enemy whispering in Edgar's ear not to surrender his life to you. And then there are the voices of godly men and women, his parents, maybe Christian friends or co-workers who are witnessing to him and being salt and light. Lord, heighten the voices of these godly people. Bring godly people Edgar's way. Give him absolutely no rest. Don't let him sleep at night, Lord. Disturb his rest. Speak to him through the watches of the night. Nag him! A Christian song, a gospel track, a Christian program, a Christian co-worker, a Christian neighbor, a Christian friend, a Christian stranger. Bring it all into his path. Nag him. Harass him spiritually, Lord God. And again, Lord, spiritually drag Edgar out of the city of sin that he's living in before impending judgment can fall. We commit Edgar into your hands, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you for his deliverance and salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Every week we pray for a young man by the name of Matthew. And Matthew's mom submitted the prayer request for him a while back. Matthew was involved in a variety of things. There were legal issues. There was depression, thoughts of suicide, involvement in the occult. And there were many issues that Matthew was facing. Now, we have not received an update yet as to what's going on with Matthew. We pray that we get one so that we can know what's going on. But in the meantime, we may not know the details, but God knows all the details. He knows what's going on in Matthew's life. Let's touch and agree for Matthew's deliverance and salvation in these perilous times. Heavenly Father, these are indeed perilous times. Your coming is imminent. Your rapture is about to take place. Lord, this is no time to be outside the fold, to be not covered by your blood. We pray for Matthew right now, Lord Jesus. And again, like always, let every stronghold of the enemy that's making Matthew resist from receiving you, Lord God, be pulled down, Lord God. Let every hindrance that's coming between the gospel and you be brought down, melted away by the fire of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Lord, use whatever circumstances and situations that are necessary so that Matthew breaks and comes to the foot of the cross in complete brokenness and humility, fully realizing his need for a Savior and surrendering his life to you, Lord God. We pray for Matthew's deliverance and salvation. Lord, move in Matthew's life. Touch his heart. Touch his mind. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, have mercy on him, Heavenly Father, and move in his life. Oh, Lord, we just lay Matthew before you, before the altar, Lord. Deliver him. Save him. Save his soul. Save his soul, Lord God. Let his name be written in the book of life, Lord. Rescue him from the enemy's camp. The enemy that's tormenting Matthew. The enemy wants to see Matthew dead. But you came that we may have life and life abundant. Give Matthew life abundant, Lord God. Push back the enemy's efforts. Silence the enemy's lies and deceptions. We commit Matthew into your hands right now, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Every week we pray for a young man by the name of Johnny. Johnny is the adult son of a dear sister in Christ who is tuning in. And Johnny is struggling with several vices, several strongholds. It's my understanding that Johnny still has not surrendered his life to Christ. But you know what? All things are possible to him who believes. Mom is tuning in right now. Mom, be encouraged. All things are possible. We're going to touch and agree with you right now, Mom, for your son's deliverance and salvation. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we touch and agree. We lift up Johnny before you right now, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we break any curses or contracts that are placed on Johnny. We rebuke the spirit of deception. We rebuke addiction. We rebuke any stronghold that's binding Johnny from surrendering his life to you, Lord God. Every desire of the enemy on Johnny's soul will not prosper in the name of Jesus. We rebuke it right now, and we plead the blood of Christ over Johnny's life. Deliver him from vices, from addiction, from bondage, from sin. Put a burden on Johnny's heart to come to church. Let the gospel get to him, Lord God. Again, Lord, send godly people his way who'll witness to him, who'll talk to him. We just lay Johnny before you, Heavenly Father. We bind every spirit of mind blindness in Johnny's life. Remove the blinders so that Johnny can see the truth of the gospel. Soften any hardened heart. Unstop any closed ears. Open the closed mind, Lord God, and the closed eyes. He may not want to see the truth. He may be busy and enjoying whatever it is he's doing. Lord God, we commit Johnny into your hands. We thank you and we praise you. We worship you. We give you the sacrifice of praise right now. We thank you for Johnny's deliverance and salvation. It's happening even now as we speak right now. On April 18th at 8:14 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you're working in Johnny's life, Lord God. You're moving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We know the praise report's going to come in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Every week, we lift up a young man by the name of Curtis. Now, Curtis is the adult son of a dear sister in Christ who resides in Texas. Texas mom, we refer to her. And for a while, we were praying for Curtis's deliverance and salvation as he was in bondage. But a while back, we received word that Curtis surrendered his life to Christ and that God is blessing his life and has opened doors for him in a variety of areas. But we need to continue to pray for Curtis, and we're going to pray for a mom as well. Touch and agree with me right now for Texas mom and her newly saved son, Curtis. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a godly woman in Texas who touched and agreed and prayed and believed for her son's salvation. And we pray a hedge of protection around this Christian mom, that you bless her life and bless her home. Permeate her home with your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Revival in her home. The upper room in her home, Lord God. Holy Ghost fire and zeal in the life of Texas mom. Ashanda makoroba sayala shalom Elohim. In the name of Jesus Christ, we just pray a hedge of protection around Texas mom, and we lift up her son Curtis in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for his deliverance and salvation, and now we pray that a platoon, a company, a brigade, a regiment, an army of angels, thousands and thousands of protecting and ministering angels, step into Curtis's life to minister to him, to protect him from the evil one. We rebuke, take your hands off Curtis. We rebuke any effort, any contract that the enemy has placed on Curtis to make him backslide or become discouraged. We pray for Curtis's strength in the Lord. Lord, like Psalm 1 says, Lord God, help Curtis to stay away from the counsel of the ungodly. Help him to stay away from the way of the wicked. Help him never to listen or sit in the seat of the scornful. But help Curtis to delight in your word, meditating on it day and night so that he bears spiritual fruit, Lord God. He will stand in the judgment, Lord God. You are familiar with Curtis, Lord God. Give him a strong sense of your presence. Let him know you're there. Lord, bless him when he reads your word. Bless him when he prays. Turn him into a prayer warrior. Give him a hunger and a thirst. Let him eat the scroll. Meditating on your word, let his life bear spiritual fruit. Turn Curtis into a Gideon, an Abraham, a Joshua, a Paul, an Aquila, a Matthew, a Peter, an Abraham, a David, a Samson, a Samuel, an Elijah, an Enoch, a Jeremiah, an Ezekiel. Turn him into a powerful, uncompromising, fully consecrated, fully committed man of God. We commit Curtis into your hands in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, we worship you, and we praise you. Amen and amen. Wow. I'm not going to lie to you, that took a lot out of me. But I'm sure it took a lot out of you. Prayer is warfare. Prayer is warfare. It's not some dreamy, feel-good experience. Because the enemy will try to get you to stop praying, to discourage you. God's not listening. He doesn't care. It's not going to happen. This nut's too difficult to crack. Pray for somebody else. All lies from the enemy. Prayer is indeed warfare. It has to be effectual and fervent. But more than that, it has to come from a righteous person. And so we need to continue to touch and agree and pray for our prodigals. Well, we've come to the end of this edition of the Parents of Prodigals podcast. And I pray it was a blessing to you. Now, you can continue to present your requests to the Parents of Prodigals. We just don't pray for these requests during the podcast. We pray for them during the week. All you need to do is go on to the Parents of Prodigals website, parentsofprodigals.us, and there is a tab there where you can submit your prayer request. We will see it and lift it before the throne of grace during the week and then bring it up in the podcast. Now, I have a special announcement to make to all of you. You know, many of us are dealing with prodigals who are in bondage, satanic bondage to strongholds. And many of our prodigals also are dealing with addiction issues and mental health issues as well. Well, on Thursday, May 30th, at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, on the Parents of Prodigals podcast, we are going to have a special guest, a Fred Jacoby, who is a Christian mental health therapist for Foundations Christian and Counseling in Johnson City, New York, just outside of Binghamton. And Brother Fred Jacoby will be with us live on the air to take your questions and listen to your concerns regarding the emotional and the mental issues that perhaps our prodigals may face. Now, I would never dismiss the works of the enemy and the role that Satan and demons play in tormenting the minds and hearts and souls of our prodigals. And also, many times, our prodigals may have chemical imbalances, maybe life trauma, and they need therapy and counseling. Well, our brother Fred Jacoby, who is a licensed mental health therapist, again, for Foundations Christian Counseling in upstate New York, Johnson City, will be live on the air to listen to your concerns and to take your questions about any issues you may be facing with your prodigal son and daughter and how to best help them or communicate with them as well. We invite you to submit your questions beforehand so that when he comes live on the air, in the event you cannot get through for some reason or another, we can submit your questions to Brother Fred Jacoby so that we can put them to him. You may have questions about suicide, depression, low self-esteem, addiction, anxiety, or worry. Submit your questions to parentsofprodigals.us, and we will collect these questions and present them to our guests that evening. Again, that's going to be Thursday, May 30th, on that edition of the Parents of Prodigals podcast. It will definitely be a blessing to myself included as well, and to all of you, I'm sure. Again, submit your questions ahead of time, if possible, to parentsofprodigals.us. And we will collect these questions and we'll bring them to him during our podcast. We will be posting or putting out a post regarding this special program on the Parents of Prodigals Facebook page. Be on the lookout for it. But until then, again, the next time we'll be on the air will be next Thursday, April 25th at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But until then, until our next podcast, I want to say this to all of you. If you are the parent of a prodigal son and daughter and you live in New York, California, Colorado, Pennsylvania, North or South Carolina, Oklahoma, Connecticut, Idaho, or Georgia, if you are the parent of an unsaved, wayward, or backslidden son and daughter, and you live in Alabama, Maryland, Tennessee, or Texas, Ohio, Utah, Wisconsin, Montana, Illinois, or Minnesota, if you are the parent, the mom and dad, or the guardian of a wayward young person, and you are burdened for their deliverance and salvation, and you live in Oregon, Washington State, Indiana, Arizona, Mississippi, Wyoming, Arkansas, Iowa, Michigan, or New Mexico, or Nebraska. If you are the parent of a prodigal, backslidden, hostile, wayward son and daughter, they're not saved. They're living in sin. They're in bondage. and you want them to be delivered and saved, with their names being written in the book of life, and you live in Mexico, Canada, Australia, France, Uganda, Brazil, the United Kingdom, India, New Zealand, Japan, Ireland, Russia, Germany, or Tanzania, if you are the parent of an unsaved son or daughter, and you want their names written in the book of life, you're burdened for their deliverance and salvation. You want them to be raptured. You don't want them to enter a Christless eternity. You want them to have life abundant. If you are the parent of a prodigal son and daughter, I say this to you. Continue in prayer, being watchful therein. And watch the road. Watch the road. Your prodigal will be on it. This is Brother Alan Weir. Until next Thursday, April 25th at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, on behalf of all of us here at Parents of Prodigals, wishing you a good night and God bless. Good night.